Hi guys, welcome back to Elephants in the Room. I'm in the same spot that I was last week. I'm in the backyard of my boyfriend's house, sitting on a chair by some nice green plants and stuff. I'm super excited to be here. Of course, I'm a procrastinator, so it's Wednesday night. The episode comes out tomorrow, and I'm trying to be so good about staying consistent for you guys because I am such a procrastinator. Like, I will always get things done, but I like to push things to the last minute. It's just not a good thing. It's a trait that I'm working on. I'm also like a very late person. It's just how I've always been my whole life. Not something I'm proud of, but it is what it is. So we're working on that. Anyways, today's episode is going to be special because it's something that is very personal to me. And I also feel like it's something that really just doesn't get talked about enough. Now, before we dive into the episode, I'll give you guys a little like life update just of like how my week went. I feel like this week has been so challenging in so many ways, but I feel like it's been so strengthening in so many ways because I've felt so close to God because I've been relying on him every single day. Like, I feel like when you're a Christian, when you first become a Christian, you're like in your honeymoon phase with God and you pray all the time, you read, and you're just on fire for the Lord. And then, you know, once you kind of get more into it and you're a little more comfortable and you feel like you know God a little better, it's really easy to not do like the daily things that we need, and like praying and reading, just little things. And so I feel like I felt very weak this week, but I've been able to rely on God's strength and just be in constant prayer. And just any time in the day I'm feeling anxious or overwhelmed or I'm going through something, I'm praying. I'm stopping and I'm praying, and it's been amazing. So I encourage you to do the same if you've been struggling. Anyways, so yeah, that's kind of how my week has been. But yeah, let's get into today's episode. So what inspired me to make this episode, and you know, it's an episode I've wanted to do for a while. It's something I, you know, it's kind of been on my heart. But specifically this week, because I went through an experience that kind of just reignited the fire and kind of triggered me a little bit to kind of bring me back into that place of just realizing how painful it is. And so I thought, you know, let's talk about it. Again, I'm no expert, but I'm just going to share some of my experiences with you guys and some of the things I've learned in therapy and in my walk with God and in my healing, to just help me get through these things again. And I'm still figuring it out and I'm still struggling with it, but I do want to talk about it. So today I want to talk about loving someone with an addiction, anything. Any type of addiction, anyone that's addicted to anything. And I want to talk about trying to love someone with addiction. If you've listened to my podcast before, you know that both of my parents are drug addicts and were in and out of addiction really my whole life. The only time my parents were ever fully sober was when I was like a baby. So I think they started back into active addiction when I was about 4 or 5 years old. So I don't remember them ever being sober consistently. So yeah, like even within like the Mormon church, because you guys know I grew up Mormon. Really the only times I ever remember being super active in the church was when I was like very little, like primary and stuff. Anyways, there's a lot to that. You know, both my parents have struggled with addiction since they were very young. And I love my parents. They've both had extremely hard lives and a lot of terrible things happened to them and a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. And to see addiction take over their lives and how that's also affected, you know, their kids' lives and their friends' lives and the people around them, it's really, really hard and really unfortunate. And unfortunately, I'm one of those people. Now, there's just so much that goes into this. There's so much. There's so many things I could share with you guys. There's so many stories. But really the main thing I want to focus on is just like, you know, learning how to love someone with addiction in your life. It's very challenging. I think when we're young, we don't know any better. Like when I was young, I was so attached to my mom. I was attached to her hip. And I just, like, I didn't comprehend and I didn't understand, you know. And then when you become an adult, things kind of shift, right? And you start to, you know, have to really just reconsider how you live life. So yeah, like as a kid, just to give you guys a little backstory, like I know that, you know, a huge portion and the beginning of my abandonment wound and abandonment issues stems from my childhood because my parents were both in and out of addiction their whole lives. And, specifically my mom, my dad is, schizophrenic, bipolar, and then he's also struggled with addiction his whole life. And my mom has, you know, really, really struggled with addiction her whole life. So yeah, they've both struggled with it. Anyways, yeah, like as a kid growing up, you know, because they were in and out of addiction, when someone's in addiction, you know, you're not yourself. Like you are being controlled by the addiction. And so, there were many times when, you know, my mom would disappear. And I guess all of this to say is my parents split up when I was 8. So they, separated when I was 8 and got a divorce shortly after. So a lot of my memories of as far as like my childhood and addiction, they fall in line a little bit more with my mom, even though my dad was still in my life. I lived with my mom after my mom and dad got divorced. You know, we were with my mom. So, past the age of 8, like as far as like living situation, I was with my mom and not my dad. But yeah, just as a kid, like obviously being exposed to parents in addiction is so scary. And it's just all you have ever known. So you do question it. You can tell there's something wrong, but yeah, I guess I'm struggling because there's just so much I could say about this, but you know, we'd be here for like 6 hours if I really got into the depths of everything. But seeing someone with an addiction is so painful because there's that spirit in them and there's that person that you love and that you believe really loves you. And I, you know, I do believe at the core of both of my parents, they do love me. But addiction is such a weird thing because it literally takes over your life. It controls what you do. It makes you into someone that you're not, you know, it literally steals everything from you. And, the things that people do when they're in active addiction are just evil and sad. And it's really easy to blame the person. But it's sad because addiction is really a disease and it's, I can't even imagine. I've never, you know, I have an addictive personality, but I've never been addicted to like drugs or alcohol or anything. And I don't even want to speak too much on that because I have never experienced it, but I have seen what it does to that person and to the people around them. And it is one of the most evil, sad, gut-wrenching things in the world because it takes so much joy and love and companionship and relationships, and it just ruins everything. Like when you're in an addiction, you lose the people around you. You become someone you're not. I mean, it's literally your top priority in life is getting your next fix and getting your next hit. And the saddest thing about that is there is so much hurt at the root of all of that. And, you know, I've had this conversation with my mom and it's actually really crazy, to think about. But one of the things that specifically methamphetamine does is that it literally numbs your emotions. Like you literally become a robot and you become super productive. You don't sleep. You don't feel anything. Drugs and alcohol numb you. They numb you. So that's the saddest thing about addiction is people fall into addiction usually because whether they dabble in something or whether they're looking for something to, you know, cope with. Like typically when you're hurting, you want something that's going to make you feel good. So when you find that thing, that's initially what you go after it for. And then once you're in active addiction, the sad thing is that those things just get worse, because when you're in addiction, you are ruining your life. You are hurting people around you. You are doing things that aren't like you. And so there's constantly more pain and more destruction, more brokenness and more hurt and more mistakes and more and more and more and more that just builds and builds and builds and builds. And the more of that that there is, the more that you're going to need to numb yourself. Because when you aren't using, you're going to feel everything. You're going to feel everything that's happened. You're going to feel everything that you've lost. You're going to feel everything that you've done to the people that you love. And I can't imagine that feeling. I can't imagine. And so it's so sad. It is the saddest thing. Addiction is the saddest thing. And my heart goes out to anyone who has ever struggled with addiction. And I want to encourage you that you are enough. I want to encourage you to give yourself grace. I want to encourage you that God loves you. I want to encourage you that the people around you who maybe have pushed you out or, you know, have fallen away from you, they love you. You know, it's like, it's just so hard. I can't imagine. But I also want to encourage the people who have had to love and deal with someone in addiction, because it is also one of the hardest things in the entire world. You feel like you literally lose that person. You feel like there's two people. You feel like there's the person that you love and the person that loves you. And then there's this like other side of this person who just, it goes against everything that you know that other person is. And a lot of the times people in addiction, in active addiction, they don't show the people around them that they love them, because their priority is getting the next hit. And so the things that they will sacrifice, the things that they will be willing to ruin, the everything, it's so out of their character and it's so unloving, but it's so sad because it's rooted from a place of so much hurt. We all want to feel good. We all want to feel comfort. We all want to feel okay. And it's just so sad that something as evil as that can exist on this world and can steal and kill and destroy so much love in this world. So I want to encourage you guys with that. But I want to talk a little bit about my journey of learning how to love the people around me who are in addiction. So yeah, let's talk about it. As a kid, I didn't understand. As a kid, I just didn't understand. I used to sit at home, and when my mom would be out on a drug run and she would disappear, you know, 24, 48 hours, and I would just call. I would just call, and she wouldn't pick up, and I would call, and she wouldn't pick up, and my body would shut down. I would start hyperventilating. I would start crying. And I just wanted my mom to be okay. I just wanted my mom. I just wanted her comfort. I just wanted her love. But I just never knew when she was coming home. And sad to think at the time I didn't realize this, but the sad reality is there was a chance that she just was never going to come home because of the situations that she was putting herself in. And I never understood how my mom could love drugs more than me as a kid or my dad. I never understood it, because I just didn't understand it. You know, I can see now it's a lot deeper than that. But as a kid, it felt like a direct rejection and lack of love. And the things that that does to your mental, the things that that does to your self-esteem, it's not good. So as a kid, I was so unhealthily attached to my mom. Matter of fact, you know, when things did get really bad, all my other siblings moved out. So my sister went to college. My other sister went to go live with my aunt. My other sister went to go live with my oldest sister. And I stayed, because I loved my mom, more than I loved me. And I was a kid, I didn't understand. But all that mattered to me was that she was okay. And I felt like she needed me. I felt this sense of, I have to be loyal to my mom. I have to be the one that doesn't abandon her. I have to be the one that forgives her and extends grace to her. And I have to be the one that never leaves her side. And to be completely honest, I carried that into my marriage and to my life in a lot of ways, in so many unhealthy ways, thinking that I had to be this hero. And it created a lot of codependency traits, a lot of anxiety, severe abandonment issues, extremely low self-esteem, because I wanted to save and I wanted to fix and I wanted to heal. And the only person who can save, the only person who can heal, and the only person who can turn someone's life around is God. Like, it takes God softening their heart, and it takes that person being willing to make the sacrifices and do the things that they don't want to do to stop living the way that they're living. And it's really hard. It takes a lot of healing. The root of so many things, I've shared this before, hurt is at the root of everything, which is another side of things. Like, when you see someone in addiction, don't look at the way that they are or look at the way that they act in active addiction and shame them or guilt them or judge them. Because let me tell you something, at the core of that addiction, there is a pain, there is a wound, there is something that happened to them that made them fall into this lifestyle. And the person that you're seeing isn't them. It's that they're literally taken over by a substance that completely changes everything about them. It is the most sick and twisted and sad thing. And so just please extend grace. All of that to say, to give more context into my life and into my story with dealing with that and learning how to love my mom, I was too loyal. And there's so much that goes into this, guys. And then CPS got involved, and I was removed from her, without my choice. And I had to go and move in with my aunt. And then I lived with my aunt, and then I ended up moving in with my sister about 2 hours away from my mom. And when I tell you guys, that season of trying to navigate how to love her from a distance was really hard, because something I've learned about myself is that when I'm in an active relationship with my mom or my dad, it takes over my life, in the sense of I'm always worried about them, I'm always worried about their well-being. I'm always worried if they're okay. I'm always worried if something happened to them. I'm always worried if I need to help them. I'm always like, oh, if I buy them this, or if I get them this car, if I do this, if I do that, like, they'll be okay. And I'm always just wanting and thinking, I want them to be okay. And it literally takes over my life, because they are constantly in unsafe situations. And so it's like you are constantly being dragged back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and you have no stability and joy and peace, because it's constantly being robbed by the fear and the thought of something happening to them and them not being there one day, or them not being okay. And there's a sense of, you know, when someone's in active addiction, you see the way that people treat them. You see the way that people judge them. You see the way that people push them out of their lives. You see the way that people abandon them. And you never want to be that person. I never wanted to abandon my parents. I never wanted to abandon my mom. I never wanted to be that person. And so I saw this and I said, well, I'm going to be different. I'm going to be different. But I was slowly killing myself by doing that. So long story short, in high school, when I lived with my sister the last 2 years of high school, and my mom has always been very in and out of my life. When she's in active addiction, she disappears. And then, you know, when she's not, she'll, you know, surface back into my life and we'll talk and we'll hang out and I'll get to see her. And it always gets my hopes up to get let down. And it's a whole nother story of my dad, and he's always been in active addiction too, but he's kind of always been a little bit safer, in the sense of he's not as able to be as mobile, and he's disabled. So like he is older, he lives in a home, and he is, you know, he is in a lot less active addiction than my mom. It's complicated. It's complicated. I will save that for another episode. But navigating how to love my dad with his schizophrenia and bipolar, it's, you know, a lot of the times I want to just see them and feel sad and sorry for them. But at the same time, it's like, at what point do I also have to take care of myself and like set boundaries? And so it's just been so tricky to navigate. So after high school, I got married. That obviously didn't go well. That was not fun. And, matter of fact, when I got married, my mom was on, the week I got married, my mom was on Utah's Most Wanted, or like the same month or something. So that was fun. She definitely wasn't involved in any of that. But yeah, I think when I kind of started to live my own life, I realized that like I loved her, but I also like had to live my own life. And what would happen is anytime that I would, you know, talk to her or see her or give her money or whatever, it would just break me down. Like it triggered me, and it would just like shoot me back down, like where I just couldn't really function. And so it was just this really toxic, messy thing. And it was just affecting me way more than I realized. But I kind of thought, like I thought in my head, like, oh, well, like I am strong enough. I'm strong enough to like still love her and to still be in an active relationship with her, because yes, it hurts me, but like I can do it. I believe in myself. Like I'm strong enough. And I had to kind of accept like it's not my responsibility. And it's also like I'm really not, because clearly it's affecting me way more than I realize. All of that to say, fast forward to when I get divorced and I start seeing my therapist. There's something that my therapist told me when I first saw her. That I'll never forget. And, it's really hard. And this is all so complex, my goodness. But I was talking to her about my mom and just everything that happens, and my dad and all the things that have happened to me, all the things that they've done, and how much I love them and my relationship with them and all these different things. And my therapist was like, Nicole, like, why do you give so much? And like, why do you tolerate being treated all these ways for these people? And I said, well, Carrie, it's my mom, it's my dad. They're my family, they're my parents. And she said, I want you to sit down and I want you to write down all the ways that they have been your parents. I want you to think about what a mother is. She said, what does a mother do? And I was like, well, I mean, take care of, nurture, protect. What does a dad do? Protect, provide, you know, take care of. She said, I want you to write down when they've ever done that for you. And I was like, I mean, there's been times, like, of course they tried their best and all these things. And she was like, no. Have they taken care? Have they protected you? They prioritize you? And I was like, I mean, no, but like, it's complicated. Like they struggle with addiction, all these things. She said, Nicole, you can have grace and love and forgiveness for them, but that does not mean that you need to let them in to your heart and put the expectation on them of mom and dad, because they've never been parents. They've never been parents to you. They love you. You love them. They're obviously broken. They obviously have things. But when you put that access and that title and that relationship at that level of their, my mom and my dad, and they're my parents, it is always going to hurt you, because your expectations will never be met. You will always be let down, and you will also allow access into your life and your heart that they don't have the capability to handle. So yes, they're your mom and your dad, but have they ever been your parents? Does your life matter to the point where you're going to let them ruin the rest of your life and ruin the rest of your relationships, ruin your health? And that was a really hard pill to swallow. I'm a Christian, which, I mean, primarily, even if you're not a Christian, I know that our goal and something, you know, we all have as a morality standpoint is to love and honor our family and to forgive people and to extend grace to people and to be nice and be Christ-like. And so I'm like, yes, Carrie, I understand that. But like at the same time, like I love these people. I don't want to give up on these people. I want to give them love. I want to, you know, do all these things. And I think that you can do that. But I think that when you do that without looking at the harsh reality and the harsh truth of regardless of the source, and you can have grace and empathy for the source or sympathy for the source of why they're in the situation. If people are treating you poorly and if people are being unhealthy and taking and emotionally abusing you, physically abusing you, any of those things, if people are not healthy and they are affecting you and they are affecting your life and they are literally stealing your joy, they are hurting your health. Like if it's to that level, you need to set boundaries. You need to. And you also need to release them and yourself from the weight of the expectations. Because yes, my mom is my mom, but she has never been my parent. Yes, my dad is my dad, but he has never been my parent. I have had to protect and take care of myself my entire life. And that's okay. But at the same time, I have to understand that if I let them in too close or without caution, because that's what we naturally want to do. We naturally want to trust our mom and our dad. We naturally want to, you know, trust their guidance, trust that they love us, trust their intentions, trust all these things. I have to be careful. And we have to be careful. Because if we understand that someone is an active addiction or isn't healthy, as hard as it is, the hardest pill to swallow is like, sometimes it's better to love someone from a distance. And it doesn't mean that you don't love them. So with all of that being said, I want to talk about maybe some helpful tips that can help you in dealing with these situations. And what I wanted to talk about that triggered me to want to have this episode is the other day my mom called me and it was really traumatic. My mom recently, like a year and a half ago, got sober and was very heavily back into my life, all to find out she wasn't sober. And she was lying to me and my family. And that was really hard. Oh my gosh. So hard. And I can't imagine how hard it was for her. But since then, she's been in and out of active addiction. And she'll just kind of disappear. And then she'll come back in our lives. Like she won't call or text or be anywhere. We won't know where she is. And then, you know, like once a month or once every other month or once every 3 months, she'll call me and I'll be able to talk to her. And, you know, other times in the month, I won't be able to get a hold of her. And it's just like a whole thing. And so I haven't talked to her in probably 2 months. And she called and, hi, how are you? All these things. And my heart wants to be filled with joy and that wound of wanting my mother's love is like, oh my gosh, my mom's calling. But I'll always be let down because when someone's in active addiction, they aren't themselves and they become someone that they don't recognize and they can become someone that isn't loving and isn't honest and isn't healthy. And of course, not to my surprise, even though every time I think it might be different, I found out she just needed money for something. And she always presents it as if she's calling because she's worried and she cares and she loves me, which I think she does. I believe that she does. But there's usually always something. There's always something that is pushing her to it. And it really hurt me. It really hurt me because I just thought, wow, I have a wound. I want my mom to just love me because she loves me, and I want my mom to just call me because she calls me, but she's not herself, and I don't know if she ever will be. And that's a hard pill to swallow. But all of that to say, when you're in that situation, what do you do? Do you give the money? Do you not give the money? Do you answer the call? Do you not answer the call? How do you love someone without enabling them? There's so much that goes into this. How do you honor yourself and honor your body, but also honor other people and show Christ-like love? It's so difficult as a Christian to navigate these situations because, you know, the preach thing is like, oh, just forgive and just love. But also, Jesus had more. He shared a lot of other things in how to also guard your heart. And so it's tricky to navigate. And I think the core of that is, you know, understanding that we're not the hero and we're not God. We can't save someone. We cannot save someone. So I want to talk about a couple tips to help you guys. But I just wanted to share that experience with you because it just wrecked me. It just after I just felt so much pain and sadness and also just hearing my mom when I picked up the phone, it was traumatic. It's triggering. You know, it's like I never know where she is or what she's doing. And then all of a sudden I hear that she's alive and hearing her and seeing her in addiction and seeing her when she's high, or it kills me. Literally, it's the saddest thing because I love her and I want her to be okay. So let's talk about a couple tips that can help you if you are loving someone with addiction. And this isn't the only person or relationship that I have been in where someone has struggled with addiction, but this is what I wanted the focus of the episode to be about today. So the first thing is educate yourself. You need to know what addiction is. You need to know, you know, what that entails, what that looks like. Like, educate yourself so you have knowledge. The next thing is you need support. You need support. Whether that's a therapist, whether that's a friend, whether that's a church leader, you need to talk to someone. If you, especially if you are in an active relationship with someone in addiction, you need so much support. The next thing is encourage, don't enable. This is a hard one because when we love people, our love has no limits, right? We want to give and we want to love and we want to do all these things. But what you have to understand is when someone isn't healthy and when someone's in active addiction, they can take and use it for the wrong thing. You may have good intentions when you give someone money or support, but you may only be enabling their addiction and you may only be enabling their unhealthiness. So encourage, don't enable. Enabling is one of those hard things, you know, because it's like, where's the line? But I would say that you have to figure out what are healthy boundaries for you and what is too much. Now, obviously, giving love and support, you should give extended amount of encouragement, an extended amount of support, an extended amount of support and love and grace. But that doesn't mean that you need to give them what feeds their addiction. So that's a balance and something to figure out. Remove yourself for as long as you need. There are times where I feel like I can handle talking to my mom and I feel that I'm healthy enough. And there have been times when my therapist has been like, you know, you are healthy enough to have a conversation with her. Hey, right now you're too emotional. There's too much going on in your life. Like, you can't handle it. I have to know my own limits and I have to know how to protect my heart and guard my heart and guard my peace and guard my life. And so there are times when I just can't do it. And there are times when my mom calls and I know I cannot pick this up. I can't handle it. And there are times where I feel like I can. And there are times where I feel like I can. And then I do. And I realize that I shouldn't have. But what I'm saying is you need to honor your body. You need to honor your spirit, honor your heart. And you don't need to feel guilt or shame because you are not their savior. And you are not the one that's going to save them or heal them. And you are not responsible for them. So as much love and support that you can give, give it. But don't feel like you have to and that you are expected to always drive over yourself and hurt yourself to help someone else. There has to be enough. There has to be a balance. Because here's the thing. You can't help someone if you aren't even physically able to help yourself. Like, if you are a broken person, if you have a broken leg and a broken arm, you can't help someone. Like, if you are already broken, you're not going to be able to get up and bandage their wound. You need to be healed and whole and healthy to be able to help someone else. So please take care of yourself. Encourage them to find support outside of you. If someone in active addiction is coming to you all the time and needing support and validation and encouragement, that's a lot of emotional burden to carry and a lot of stress to carry. So it can't all be on you. Please encourage them to have multiple streams of support and love and people in their lives that can be there for them. Because if all the weight and pressure is put on you, it's too much. It's too much. So you just have to remember, like, you are not responsible for their life and you are not responsible to save them. And if it feels like, well, I'm the only one, who still loves them, I'm the only one who's still there for them, that's amazing, but you aren't God. You can't save them. The next thing is, like, have realistic expectations. As sad as it is, being in a relationship or having a family member, friend who's in active addiction, you can't expect them to be what you want them to be. And you can't expect them to be perfect. And you can't expect them to fill that hole or that relationship expectation that someone who was healthy or who wasn't in active addiction could fill. My mom will never be able to do the things that a mom is supposed to do for a daughter. My dad will never be able to do the things that a dad is supposed to do for his daughter. But what's going to hurt me more than anything is having those high expectations and constantly being let down. Extend grace and patience. See them for more than their addiction. There is a root, there is a cause, there is a pain. They are a person like you who is broken and hurting and needs help. And at times we all need help. And, you know, it's the saying, you know, you don't know what someone's going through until you walk in their shoes. And I know that that's true. The last thing I'll say is fill your cup up. Practice self-care. If you are in a relationship or in and out of a relationship with someone in active addiction, you need to take care of yourself. Self-care, self-care, self-care. If you're pouring and pouring into someone else's cup, make sure your cup has enough to sustain you. Make sure you have enough water to live. Make sure you're not dehydrating yourself, pouring and pouring and pouring, because eventually you're not going to be able to pour anymore. Can't pour from an empty cup. And when you're pouring from a full cup, you're going to be doing it out of a place of love and blessing. So just be careful. Just be careful. I want to share a verse with you guys. 1 Corinthians 16:14. Let all that you do be done in love. I think most of our goals in life, we all want to love and to be loved, and we want to fiercely love people. And it's really sad because in a perfect world, it'd be easy to do. But unfortunately, we live in a world with a lot of evil and a lot of destruction. And so sometimes giving and loving can be to your detriment and even their detriment. Love comes with truth, and truth usually comes with boundaries. So do not think that setting boundaries with people, especially people in addiction in your life, isn't loving. It is extremely loving. When you set boundaries with people, not only does it hold them accountable, but it also takes the weight and pressure away from what happens when you don't set boundaries. What happens when you don't set boundaries? Both people end up hurt and both people end up wounded. When you do set boundaries It may hurt someone initially, but it relieves the pressure and the stress from them to live up to an expectation. And you are protecting yourself. It's because you know you can only take care of you and you can't expect someone to take care of you. So like if someone hurts you or if someone does something nasty to you and you feel bitterness and resentment, and if they loved me, why didn't they do this? And I wish they would have taken better care of my heart or better care of this. Well, there's also a layer of you allowing them to do that. And when you're setting healthy boundaries, you're setting yourself up to not be put in that situation. So you don't have to hurt and you don't have to be hurt by someone, because when someone else hurts you, it hurts them. Now, I have an episode on healthy boundaries. If you guys want to know more about healthy boundaries, please go and listen to that, because I don't want to go too much into depth about it because it's a long and complicated thing. And then the last thing I want to say is, guys, like, don't feel bad. Like, if you can't have a relationship with someone in your life because of addiction, it doesn't mean that you don't love them. Loving someone from a distance is sometimes the most loving thing you can do. It really is. As hard as it is to comprehend, because it's backwards from our stereotypical idea of love, which is to fight for and to be loyal to and to give and to not abandon. Sometimes creating healthy space creates the healthiest space to be able to love someone else with boundaries to protect both people. So there is no guilt and no shame for saying, I can't handle having a relationship with this person. I don't ever want to have a relationship with this person. You are not their savior. You are not their hero. God is. Let God take care of them. Take care of you and love the way that you can. But it's just not as black and white as we think it is. It's complex. And that's why I like to talk about these things with you guys, because I don't want you to feel alone. I hope that all made sense. I hope that you guys hear me and you know my heart. You know, if you guys have questions or comments, please, you know, DM me, message me on Instagram. I'd love to talk more with you guys about it. And again, it's hard because I can only fit so much into these episodes. I can't sit here and talk to you guys for like 6 hours. I mean, I could, but that would be, I wouldn't do that to you guys. So I know there's a lot more context that goes into all this, but I hope that this helped. I hope that you hear me. I hope that you know you're not alone if you're going through something like this. And yeah, I just love you guys. I am grateful for you guys. And my prayer is that we can all just learn to love ourselves and love each other better, but that we can open our eyes to have so much grace for these gray areas that are uncomfortable to talk about and that are uncomfortable to think about, because it's just not the way that God intended. But we live in a world with evil and with sin, and it happens. So all of that to say, love you guys. I hope you have an incredible week. I'm super excited. I have so many exciting things coming. I seriously, like, just can't wait for the future, and I just can't wait to keep working on myself and my spirit and to keep communicating with you guys. And I want to do so many fun things with this podcast. Right now, I feel like I'm just doing as much as I can, to be honest, but I'm excited for when I feel like I'm in a place where I can do more and more and more. So I love you guys very much. I hope you have a great week. And if you'd like to support me, you can follow me on all my social media platforms at Nicole.Donna. You can follow my podcast on all social media platforms, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. I got it all. all in the link in my bio, but also it's all just elephants in the room. You can leave me a rating. That helps me a lot. You can share this podcast on your social media with a friend. You can DM me, leave a comment. I love you guys. I'm grateful for you. So with that, I will close this episode by saying, what elephants are in your room? My name is Nicole, and I will talk to you guys next week.